Time is 8:34. Joining me in a studio, Eli Rabinowitz. He is the CEO of We Are Here. Very, very good morning, and welcome to Chai FM.
Thank you, Howard.
Is We Are Here?
Well, We Are Here.
Indeed,
is the last phrase of the Partisan song Zogni Kemal.
Right.
Mir sein Dor.
Okay.
I don't know how good your Yiddish is. Mine is
reasonable, but not great.
It's reasonable.
Yeah.
So we are here, and it's a statement. You know,
right.
you're saying that we are here. Don't mess with us.
Right. And what is the organization?
Organization's me and a few other people who volunteered. Funny enough, quite powerful people. One is a lady called Lynn Koenig, South African, who was the vice chancellor of one of the major universities in Perth. And it's just an inspiring project. So people, it's an NGO. So,
so We Are Here as an NGO.
Yes.
And its purpose is what?
The purpose is to, keep alive the message of the partisans and the survivors. Because we're at a stage now where they're at an age where they're not going to be here or very active for much longer.
Right.
And I can see already that around the world, and even in South Africa, there are people who are saying, you know what, let's move on, let's do something else.
Right.
But it is an anthem,
right.
You know. And in Australia, I've lived there since 86. It's very strong because there are a lot of Holocaust survivors.
I was just going to say, Australia, South Africa, whereas the community, a lot of people arrived before the war.
Yes.
In Australia, you have a high number of, probably one of the highest concentration of,
this,
of survivors in
Let's
the world.
Let's say outside Israel, the highest. So, percentage-wise.
Right.
So it's quite an interesting society because you've got a mixture between Litvaks, ourselves, and the South Africans make up the highest percentage of Australian Jews after Australian-born Jews, 11%. And yet we don't have that same experience that Polish or Hungarian Jews who have been there since the Holocaust.
Right.
You know, so it is an interesting thing for education, which is my gig. I'm not actually an educator. I sell ladies fashion.
Right.
But I've got a really, long yichus, which has drawn me into the summer history.
So tell me a bit about your journey. How did you get to be involved in this?
So, I lived in South Africa. 32 years ago, I moved to Perth, Australia. And then a cousin of mine who used to work for the chief rabbi, Harris, once gave me a list of some names that were my ancestors.
Right.
And then I did the genealogical thing.
Right.
But I was very lucky because I'm part of the Catanel and Bogan family, which is like every other guy could be.
Right.
So that interests me with a fair amount of success. And then in 2011, I decided to go to that part of the world, which I hadn't been to before, which was Lithuania, Latvia, Poland, etc.
Right.
And I connected.
Right.
And the message from this was that I'm not a child of a Holocaust survivor. So my father was born in Volksrust. My mother was born in Dvinsk or Daugavpils in Latvia, which she came out before the Holocaust. So I just felt that when I saw people knowledge dropping down over years. People know less. People have got other activities. I felt that I had to do something. And my own interest in history and in people and connecting with people and the internet, which is very important, and also videos, because I do make videos.
Right.
I found that that was something that could allow me to be a sort of asset in this world.
Right.
Because there is a lot of information hidden away, and people like Jewish Gen are doing a great job in trying to go into archives, and there's so much stuff that still has to be uncovered. And people are looking for families. They're looking for stories. You know?
Which is incredible because you find even, you know, a couple of generations down further on, people are suddenly starting to say, well, hold on, what happened?
Yes.
And I know certain parts of, certain of the survivors or certain people, many people who came from Europe even prior to the war stopped talking.
Yes.
And, they cut off their past completely. So there's this chasm that is very, very hard to get over when, for example, if my father doesn't know very much about his late parents, it's very, very hard to try and find out, more of that information.
So people like Spielberg, you know, did a great job in encouraging survivors to tell their stories. And it's amazing what did come out.
Right.
but also it is amazing what you can research. And you know, I did a business science degree at UCT, so I did economics, and I have that kind of brain, but it was at a different time when there weren't PCs or anything. So when I bought my first PC, that sort of put me on the map. Right. And since then, I feel anything can be accessed if it exists.
Right.
Okay. And I find that's the biggest challenge, that people will write to me and say, I don't know where to find this or whatever.
Right. Yes. I am chatting to Eli Rabinowitz. He is the CEO of We Are Here, and that's an educational program, effectively that actually just encourages people to look into their past, to establish the connection. Would that be right?
So you asked me a question earlier on. So it was a development of what happened, and it happened in South Africa, funny enough.
Right.
I blogged something in Australia on Hanukkah.
Right.
Craig Kasif,
right,
the head of Jewish Studies at King David.
Right.
Wrote to me and he said, I see you coming to South Africa in 3 weeks' time. Would you be willing to come and talk to our student body about the meaning and significance of Zogni Kemal, of the partisan song? Because we sing it every year in Yiddish at West Park.
Amazing.
And I knew nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is, but I'm pretty good on the internet, on YouTube, and I put together a little presentation. And I must say, when I got to King David, I went to Highlands here and Seapon Boys in Cape Town, so I wasn't a King David boy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like confronted with 600 students in the hall. I mean, they really put on a good effort. And then the few days later, I went to Victory Park, which was 400 students.
Right.
And then I went to Herzliya. So the thing is, my program was to explain who were the partisans, the Jewish partisans, where they lived, where they hung out, in the forests, you know, around the area of Belarus and so on. And then what it meant to be a partisan. And I used things like, the movie Defiance, you know, with, 2009 movie to explain what the Bielskis were, because they were the most famous of the partisans.
Right.
The interesting thing is that movie was 2009. If you ask people today, nobody remembers that movie. I mean, some people would, but young people don't know the movie because it was a movie made some time ago. So I'm trying to connect history over all the periods, starting with the Holocaust, but coming out with an empowered message, and the message is of an upstander, of somebody who the partisans were, who hid and fought. Now, not everyone was, we know we lost 6 million people, but people were able to fight. And today that is the inspiration for people who are challenged by, the societies we live in. So whether it's Australia or South Africa, it's the same thing. People, need not to be bullied, and they need to find out a way of coping, in terms of their behavior with this intimidation and with these problems.
So is it a challenge to find relevance when you talk to the kids at school? Because they are now already maybe third or fourth generations away from it. They might not even have met those great-grandparents who lived through that period. What is that factor?
Well, there are two factors. If educators can do something about it, and I think they sort of, like in Australia, there's a very strong Holocaust structure. But the thing is that you've got to keep on them all the time, because you might get somebody coming along with a modern kind of song as opposed to a partisan song, and they say, oh, this describes the Holocaust. I like to use things that existed then
authentic,
and that survived for 80 years. So that's the one thing. The other thing is that the kids relate to it, and I'll tell you why, because people, if you go onto YouTube and social media, people have taken the message of the partisan song and put it into their own genre. So I've got heavy metal versions of it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And,
so they've made it relevant that way.
Absolutely. And the kids, I spoke last year at Muizenberg High School, which is today a black, 95% black school. It used to be a Jewish school in the old days. And when I started saying to them, this is a little bit like growing up in the time of apartheid, when your parents and grandparents were in that environment.
Right.
And then coming up with something that is very empowering, because never say that you reach the end of the road is Zogni Kemal Stogesnetsenbeck. Okay, that's the English translation.
Right.
And what it's saying is that you should have hope, and there is always an element of hope. And if you don't think of the words, and the words are actually very clear, then you'll miss the message. So the message actually is the poem. The poem that was written by a young guy, 23-year-old Hirsch Glick in 43. He was murdered the following year in Estonia, but he lived in Vilnius.
Right.
And so his message, he didn't have much time to see how it went, but it spread like wildfire because it was adopted by the partisans. And there were 20 to 30,000 Jewish partisans.
So almost, effectively what you're saying is that the message of the partisans is relevant not only within the Jewish context, but actually with anybody, for any, especially in the youth, that have gone through challenges and difficulties, especially in their past.
Yes.
It's about hope. It's about inspiration. Right. It's about knowing that no matter how bleak and dark it might be, that there's a way forward.
Can I give you a very good, succinct example?
Yes.
Years later, an Aboriginal gentleman called William Cooper was discovered as the man who marched 10 kilometers in 1938, just after Kristallnacht, in Melbourne, to the German consulate and wanted to hand them a petition about how affected he was feeling about what happened. Now, he was an Aboriginal. Yeah. Aboriginals were only counted in a sense in 1967.
It's incredible.
Okay, and they rejected it. They would not accept it. And you know that it was only in 2017 that the German government, the current German government, accepted that petition.
Amazing.
And that petition was his empathy for the Jewish people.
Incredible.
And now everyone's getting on the bandwagon. My new project is related to this well. So people like Yad Vashem, the Gandalf Foundation in Australia. People see that here were Aboriginals or Indigenous Australians who had nothing going for them in respect.
Yeah, they were fighting for their own survival.
And yet they
empathized
with the Jews in Germany. And if you think of how many other people did that, I mean, this was courage for guys to do that.
Absolutely.
And his grandson, so his name was William Cooper, his grandson is a guy who today is 90-something. Uncle Boydie, Alf Turner is his name. And he is not a superstar by no means, but he's now been identified as like that line of somebody who actually stood up, and there's the upstand again.
Absolutely fantastic. Time is 8:46, about to go 8:47. Nikki says, I love the Partisan song. It is so inspirational. I often find myself singing it. I wish your guest a great success. Eli Rabinovitz, CEO of We Are Here. How does somebody get hold of you?
You find me on the internet, E-L-I-R-A-B. I own that name in a way. It could be any of it, but elirab.me or elirab.com. So that's how you find me.
Absolutely fantastic. Time is 8:47. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM.